I find success has a price I enjoy. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. I find success has a price that I enjoy. Now, most people say the price of success is trouble. The price of success is walking over other people. The price of success is, you know, climbing over other people's dreams and just getting your own dream out. That's not true. The price of success is uniqueness. The price of success is one-pointedness. The price of success is for you alone and has nothing to do with anybody else. Let's look at our work. Here at the University of Healing, the name of our organization is University of Healing, Healing and God Unlimited, Church of God Unlimited. Okay. How do we teach about healing? Well, we are very naive. We are very innocent. We are very not with it. Because we follow this program. This program says, it is done unto you according to your belief. Now, I don't know who said that. Some famous person said that. Do you know who said that?
Yes.
Jesus? Did Jesus say that?
Yes.
Jesus the Christ?
Yes.
It is done unto you according to your belief? So, healing is done unto us according to our belief. Success is done unto us according to our belief. So if healing is done unto us according to our belief, then we have to change our belief from the belief that we're ill to the belief that we're whole. And the way we change our belief is not by going through many steps, not by going through a progression. Our Science of Mind treatment has always been very effective and very helpful as we're learning how to apply these things. But now we are at the stage of applying what we have learned. We have learned it is done unto us according to our belief. Now, what is your belief about your health in any area of your experience at the moment?
I'm whole and perfect.
You're whole and perfect. Well, if you're whole and perfect, why do you have a stubbed toe? If you're whole and perfect, why do you have a sore throat? If you're whole and perfect, why do you have bad eyes? If you're whole and perfect, why can't you hear? If you're whole and perfect, why does your stomach ache sometimes? If you're whole and perfect, you see, I'm giving all these things. These are things that we all experience from time to time, don't we? We all experience them. If we're so damn good, if we're so whole and perfect, why are we experiencing that? Well, we're experiencing that because that exists in our belief structure. It is done unto us according to our belief. Now, we do not change our belief structure by saying, I don't believe. I am not imperfect. I am not sick. I do not have a stomach ache. I do not. It's a natural thing to say, I do not, when we think we're getting our things in order. We think we're doing it correctly. But that's not the correct things to say. Jesus never said, say you are not ill. Say you are not sick. Say you are not dead. Say, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Say you are not having problems. No. Say, I am. I am that I am. I am whole and perfect. I am fantastic. I'm glorious. I'm whole and perfect. Every organ, action, function of my body is whole and perfect. Right now and forever. Say that. Say that. Say that. Live it. Live it. Live it. Now, that's the price of success. The price of success is telling the truth about ourselves, right?
Yes.
The price of success is telling the truth about ourselves. And I enjoy that, don't you?
Yes.
My goodness, yes. I enjoy that with all my heart, all my soul, and all my... And that's all that there is to it. There's not some mystical, magical criteria that we have to follow to accomplish that. We don't have to get down on our knees to some deity, because the deity is within ourselves. And when we get down on our knees, we're asking an outside experience to take place within us. Jesus said, go to the Father within who sees in secret. He didn't say, go to God and go to the temple outside and pray in the church and pray in the temple. Those are good things to do too. They get us in a nice framework. But the best thing to do, as Jesus said, it is done unto you according to your belief. Nothing else. That's a great psychological truth too. A psychiatric truth. A physical truth. A scientific truth. It manifests in all areas. It is done unto you according to your belief. It is done unto me according to my belief. Now, I am a very happy fellow. I am a very desired person. Wherever I go, people want to hear what I have to say. They clamor for it. Maybe not our Billy Graham type crowds, you know, with thousands of people there. And that'd be nice. I don't mind that. But I have people who want to hear what I want to say. And they like what I say. And when they get done hearing what I say, they put it into practice. And how blessed am I? How blessed is my thinking that they actually listened to me and they actually did what I said, because I only tell about things that work for me, things that I believe in, things that are important to me. Now you go out and you talk to people and you wonder why they're not all excited about what you're saying. Well, they're not excited about what you're saying if you're not excited about it. They're not excited about what you're saying if you don't believe what you're saying. But if you believe what you're saying, you can be sure you do not hear one comment anywhere contrary to what you're saying. If you are so excited about what you're teaching, what you're sharing, what you're living, when do you have time to see anything that's contrary to that? You don't. You don't. Your mind is so filled with joy, so filled with power, so filled with the belief that what you're teaching is great and good. But if you don't believe it, and boy, I know when you don't believe something, because then you cry and you shout and you holler and you get angry and you try to force it through. You've got to understand, this is what really is the truth. This is... Anybody who rants and raves at you, you can be sure they don't believe it themselves. Because if they believe it themselves, they would just speak with confidence and they'd say, I think that love is one of the most wonderful gifts that we have ever had. When we can give love, it comes shining back. We were speaking about a young man in Nigeria. We have a letter from him this morning. His name is Endless Kalu. And Endless is an amazing young man. I believe he's 21. Amazing young man. And we were at a meeting. And at this meeting in Nigeria, there were many, many people. There's a room full of people. And many women with children. I mean, you know, they don't have babysitters down there. They bring them along. And that's great. Well, one of the little children was crying. And the mother could not do anything to quiet the child. It wasn't obnoxiously crying. It was just crying, an unhappy cry. And so, Endless, that's his first name, Endless Kalu, walked over to the mother and said, may I have your child? And she looked kind of surprised, and then she said, you know, men don't usually ask for people's kids, you know. And then she gave him the child, and he said, whenever I take a child in my arms, it stops crying. And this child instantly stopped crying. He believed in himself. He demonstrated his love. He says, I love children. A 21-year-old guy, loving children, you know. You think he'd be out chasing after women and so forth and then having his own children. But he loves children. What a father he'll make. Wow. Mm-hmm. He sincerely loves children. And children know that. When you sincerely love a child who is crying or who is happy or whatever, and you pick them up or you receive them, if you give them your love, wow! I was at Kennard Davis's church in New Jersey, I believe it was, and Kennard says, Herb, I want you to assist me in the baptism of these children. Sure. So Kennard got up and he gave them a lovely baptism. And then he gives me the kid. I'm standing behind him. He says, now you baptize them too, Herb. And I baptized each child. I told the parents they are the most blessed people in the universe, for they have this new life that's being given to them to share all their love and their knowledge and their goodness. And this child's name is blah, blah, blah. And that name means power and joy and peace and love and harmony, whatever that name means. And I told it again and again and again to the parents. And I said, this child is a master as it unfolds the genius that lay within it. It is going to be a great person in the universe. It is going to be a leader. It's going to be a person who the world will reckon with and receive great love and blessing from. And then I want to give the child back to the parents, and they won't take it. They say, say some more, say some more. And so sometimes my blessings took longer, much longer than I planned. But I didn't mind. I had my microphone on, and I was sharing it with the entire congregation, and the congregation was saying, yeah, I want you to take my kid next. And at Kennard's church, we had a number of kids, and it was a great baptism ceremony, and I was quite busy. In fact, it was quite long, but I was quite busy and had a good time, and I know Kennard had a good time. And in Nigeria, at Agabua, at Seville Agabua's church in Aweri, she had a church full of maybe about 10, 12 kids. And the parents all brought the kids up. And I gave them this wonderful baptism. And the parents were beaming with joy as I was baptizing their children in with flowers and you know, petals and so forth, and dropping it on their head, telling them how beautiful and what a genius they were and how fantastic they were. And as soon as I finished the children, then the parents got up and wanted to be baptized too. And I'm sure they had been baptized before, but they came up because I believed in what I was doing. I was a success in what I was doing. I could have gone out and taken in the whole community and baptized them all, and they would have loved it. And it was not baptizing in some church, in some dogma, in some religion, in some particular philosophy. Oh, perhaps the philosophy of love. And they loved it. I was a success at that. And you see, I find success has a price I am happy to pay. Success has a price I'm very happy to pay, because anything that I'm a success at, I am excited about. And I delight in and I enjoy thoroughly, just like you do too. You delight and enjoy in anything you do. Sylvia is such a crazy nut. We gave her her ordination. And when she had her ordination, she says, that means I can marry people, doesn't it? And I said, yeah. She said, well, I'm going to find people to marry. And so she didn't have to go very far. They started coming to her. And she started doing weddings and just having a ball. And she's looking forward to each wedding with great joy, because what does she do? She wraps that wedding in so much love that the people know they're married, and they know they're married to the perfect spouse, and they are happy forevermore. Would you say that's true, Miss Sylvia?
Yes.
Or Reverend Sylvia?
That's true.
And Ellen, are your marriages all perfect and everlasting?
Yes.
Now, why did you laugh?
Yes.
Because she realized that she has married him on the mountaintop. She's married him by the riverside. She's married him in churches. She's married him wherever they wanted to be married. And sometimes the marriage had a little difficult spot in it, but she was always there to be the guiding light, bringing balance and happiness to everyone. You see, when we are a success in life, we're a success because it is done unto us according to our belief. And any success we have is a success that we have made. Ingeborg had her church down in El Centro, El Cajon, and people would come to her door and ask for counseling, and people would come around her, and she would talk to them in little groups and big groups, and she just had a ball. And what did she do? She loved them. I think Ingeborg was more loving with that group than she was ever in her whole life. And that group just responded. They kept coming back, and they kept bringing their friends and neighbors. And Ingeborg had one major problem, though. And she did nothing to alleviate it. And that major problem was, Ingeborg speaks perfect Italian, perfect French, perfect German, perfect Schweizerdeutsch, perfect Hochdeutsch, but she doesn't speak Spanish. And her Mexican neighbors came to her speaking Spanish, and she didn't let that stop her in the least. She just smiled and spread her arms of love around them, and they understood. You see, this is why language is not really important. The only thing that is important is our love. And our success has a price that we pay for it. And that price is the price of it is done unto us according to our belief. We love ourselves and we love what we're doing. We're great people, I would say, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Well, you all have a lovely, lovely, lovely day. And just know that I find success has a price I enjoy paying. So stay with it, enjoy it, and know that I love you.
I love you.
I love you.